Amen. Let's put our hands together for Pastor Shola Folaladi. All right then. Maybe sit down. Next speaker will be Dr. Creflo Dollar. So, and he will be speaking from his place in Atlanta, Georgia. All right then. So let's put on Dr. Creflo
Dollar. Father, we thank you for this and another opportunity to minister to these your precious sheep. Thank you, Lord, that revelation knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted and unhindered by any satanic or demonic force. And Father, I pray that you will speak through my vocal cords and think through my mind. None of me and all of you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Anoint every ear to hear. And I thank you that they will never be the same again because of your magnificent mercy. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Well, first of all, to Pastor Pojo and all who are in attendance at the West Africa Faith Believers Convention. And I am so glad that technology exists to allow me to be a part of it. I so long to be with you again. But this is the next best thing, and I'm excited about what I've got to talk to you about. You know, the theme, if I understand it correctly, is the power of God's mercy. And I was so excited about this thing because, you know, you hear people mention the word mercy. You hear people, you know, saying, you know, have mercy and all those kind of things. But what we're going to talk about in the two sessions that I've been blessed to come to serve you with is we're going to really look at the power of mercy. And I want to start off right now. It's transformative. That's what's so powerful about the mercies of God. It will change you. It will transform you, and it'll transform those that you come in contact with. I'd like to start off in the book of Psalms and use this as a text. Psalms 145, verses 8 through 9, as we talk about and dive into this subject of the mercy of God and really the power of God's mercy, or the ability of God where mercy is concerned. Verse 8 and 9, I'll read it out of the King James and then the Amplified Bible. The King James says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's slow to anger, and he is of great mercies." Great mercies. The Lord is good to all, and all means all. God was good. God was good to you before you got born again. And God's not good to you because you're good. God's good to us because he's good. So the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So this begins to show you the transformative power of the mercy of God. How God's mercy is over all his works. Now let's read this in the Amplified real quick. Psalms 145 verses 8 through 9. He said, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's slow to anger and abounding or increasing in mercy and loving kindness." Verse 9. "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The entirety of things created were born out of his mercy." Born out of the power of his mercy. Now, let's, I always like to deal with, especially when we have subjects that, you know, people have in their mouth, and they use the word a lot, but I like to break it down and look at the definitions and arrive at a certain point. So I want to approach defining the mercy of God by giving you three definitions and then we'll get into this. The first way I would define the mercy of God is this. It is compassion. Mercy is compassion, or forgiveness is compassion or forgiveness that's shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm you. So compassion and forgiveness that's shown by somebody who has the power to punish or harm you. So instead of punishing and harming you, they show compassion and forgiveness of you. So you have the power to inflict punishment, but because of mercy, you show compassion and forbearance to one who has offended or one who has wronged you. Think about that. When was the last time maybe you had the power to punish somebody and you decided to show mercy rather than to show power? The last time that it was within your ability to harm somebody, but instead of inflicting that, you showed compassion and forgiveness. And so it is you have the power to inflict punishment, but because of mercy, you show compassion and forbearance to one who has offended or one who has wronged you, just like we sin and God shows us mercy. And God has shown us so much mercy. And I'm amazed of how people in the body of Christ are unwilling to show mercy to others, forgetting about the mercy that God has shown to you. Now, you know, you can sit there and think, well, you know, whatever. But you know how messed up you used to be. You know the dirty dog you used to be. You know the junk you were involved in. And God had already made up his mind to show you mercy and to forgive you. And then you continue to find it hard to do the same thing where other people are concerned. You know, let me say this. You know, people are always talking about, you know, what are the things that grieve God? I'm going to tell you right now, what grieves God is how we treat one another. What you know, you're thinking that your individual sin grieves God. What grieves God is how we treat one another. And this power of mercy is something that we really need to understand. Now let's dive into the second definition or approach on the mercy of God. Mercy is, now I like this, it's love that responds to human need in an unexpected or an unmerited way. It's love that responds to human need in an unexpected or an unmerited way. When something is unmerited, that means I'm responding to you when you don't deserve it, when you haven't worked for it, when you hadn't earned it. I am showing you mercy and responding to that human need in an unexpected and unmerited way. I'm responding to that need not because you deserve it. I'm responding to that need not because you've earned it. I'm responding to that need not because, you know, you did something nice for me one day. But it's love that I respond to a need, and it's unexpected and it's unmerited. That's powerful. Because I believe that at its core, listen to this now, or at its base, mercy, listen, is forgiveness. And how many of you know we all need forgiveness? Mercy is forgiveness, and we all need forgiveness. And I am amazed. We're living in a generation where people are stubborn where forgiveness is concerned. They just don't want to do it. They just can't see how to come to themselves and walk in forgiveness. So at the core of mercy, you see forgiveness. In fact, let me show you look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. I want to read the King James and the Amplified. Let me make this statement, and I want to read this scripture. Jesus is the face of God's mercy. You want to know what mercy is? Jesus, if you look at Jesus, you see mercy. Jesus is the face of God's mercy. Now look at verse 13. He says, but go you and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call the sinners to repentance. Look at him. He is saying, listen, this mercy, I am going to release this mercy upon those who need it the most, not those who deserve it the most, but those who need it the most. And look at the Amplified here. He says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy that is readiness to help those in trouble. Lord, have mercy. And not sacrifice and sacrificial victims. For I came not to call and to invite to repentance the righteous. I didn't come for the righteous to do that. Those who are upright and in right standing with God. But I've come for the sinners, the erring ones, and all those not free from sin. See, somehow we got this thing in our mind that if you're not born again and if you're not in church, that God doesn't have anything to do with you. God has mercy that he is so ready to release on sinners. And that once sinners, once people are not born again, once they understand the mercy of God, that mercy will begin to transform them. That mercy will begin to change them. And even as Christian people, once you begin to understand the mercy of God, you wake up in condemnation, you wake up in shame, you wake up with guilt. If you understand the mercy of God, it will transform you. The power of God's mercy is transformative. It will change whatever needs to be changed, both in the life of the Christian and in the life of the unbeliever. But there are just a lot of people that won't extend their faith in the mercy of God. You have to do that. When you're feeling bad, when you're feeling ashamed, when you're feeling disgusted, when you're feeling like you're not loved and all that, you've got to put faith in the mercy of God. And when you put your faith in the mercy of God, that mercy releases power to transform, power to change. Amen. Praise God. Now, let me give you the third definition of mercy. And this is the one that I appreciate the most. Mercy is the bad you deserve, you don't get. Mercy is the bad you deserve, you don't get. The bad deserved is replaced by undeserved favor and goodness, and that's called grace. It just blew my mind how God would come and save me. And I'm thinking, I deserve so much bad. I didn't even understand, why would you call me to the ministry? Why would you call me to preach? I deserve so much bad. Any of you ever felt like that? I just deserve so much bad. You know, you can prop yourself up in public, but when you get at home and you're by yourself, like, I deserve so much bad. And you sit there and you meditate on all of the things you've done, and that guilt and shame comes in, and you think you deserve so much bad. Well, that's why Jesus came, to release undeserved favor to you and to make mercy available to you. And the mercy of God that's available to the guy that feels like he deserves so much bad. You know, God's just showing up in his word and he's saying, listen, the bad you deserve, you don't get. That's God's mercy. And that mercy is not extended towards you because you earned it. Oh, this is strong. The mercy of God, the bad you deserve, you don't get. Well, now, does that mean now you have the license to just, you know, since God has mercy, I'm going to just go out and do something stupid? No, no, no. You got to understand, encountering this kind of compassion, this kind of mercy, it transforms you. It transforms you deep in your heart. The things you want to do, you don't want to do anymore. You can't get over how somebody could show this much mercy to you. It impacts your life forever. You know, people who can experience God's mercy and then just continue to do the thing that God just showed mercy for, they didn't get it. They really don't understand, man. And that's why we got to be careful. I see Satan creeping into the thought life of believers, and you're not understanding that it was the mercy of God that's responsible for where you are today and the transformation in your life today. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise God. Now, let's look at Lamentations. Somebody said Lama who? Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22. Let's look at it in the ESV version, ESV, and then the NLT. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. Now notice what he says here. This is exciting. He says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. You think your craziness is wearing God out. Honey, all of the craziness you can come up with will never outdo the mercies of God. It never comes to an end. They are new every morning. And great is your faithfulness. Listen, when you woke up this morning, you woke up to a new batch of mercy and compassion and tender loving kindness and forgiveness. It's new every morning. New every morning. His mercies never cease. It's new every morning. Get that in your thinking. This mercy that I'm talking about that transforms, it's brand new every day. And what we need to begin to do is not to get transformed one day. Something changes in our life one day and we're just done. We need to begin to live a life of being transformed until we are in the image of Jesus Christ. That mercy is new every morning. It's new every morning. Look at the NLT. Same verses of scripture. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Now, he says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. It never ends. Let me tell you something about the love of God. We spend so much time being concerned about how much we love God that we're not understanding that your faith doesn't work. In Galatians, when he says faith worketh by love, it doesn't mean faith worketh by how much you love God. It means faith worketh by how much you believe the love that God has for you. And that's where we've missed it. We go around, oh, I love God. Oh, I love God. But then you don't believe the love that God has for you. Faith worketh by believing the love that God has for you. Okay? So, see, if you believe that God loves you and God has mercy on you, then you'll believe God's promises. But Deuteronomy chapter 1, I think 26, 27, they said, you know, they murmured in their tents. And they rebelled against God because they thought God hated them. And when you think God hates you, then you will rebel against God. When you think God hates you, then, you know, you won't have any faith in what God promised you. Now, this is why this is so important. Faith in believing the love of God. You got to have faith in the love of God. And so when you're going through hard times, what do? You open your mouth up and you declare, I know God loves me. That's why I'm healed. I know God loves me. That's why I'm delivered. I know God loves me. That's why I have the peace that passes all understanding. See, one of the things you got to understand is First John says we love him because he first loved us. But we got to make that adjustment in our believing. It's not how much you love God. Maybe that was so in the old covenant, but in this new covenant, it's how much God loves you, and do you believe it? And when you find yourself being attacked and under attack, under the mental pressure of the devil, you've got to open your mouth up and say, I believe God loves me, and that's why I have peace in my mind. Man, when you experience the love of God and you experience the power of God's love, you will begin to walk in such miracles. You'll begin to walk in such manifestation simply because you release your faith in the love of God. I believe God loves me. That's powerful. And so he says here, the faithful love of the Lord will never end. The faithful love of the Lord will never end. His mercies will never cease. He says, great is his faithfulness. And he says his mercies begin afresh each morning. I am covered by his mercy. I am upheld by his mercy. I defeat the enemy even because of his mercy and his faithfulness to his love. I believe his love. I believe his mercy. And that's power. You know, here's something that I really believe. You know, experiencing God's love is an intimate personal relationship. Knowing your God, Daniel, I believe chapter 3:11, it says that God will do exploits for those that know him. They that know their God, he'll do great exploits. And that know is not just knowledge. You've got to exchange your knowledge about God for knowing God. See, we have a lot of knowledge about God, but we don't know him. And we continue to try to be like God without God. And you know, thank God for the knowledge of God's word, but that's got to move to knowing God. Praise God. And then it got to move from knowing God by experiencing his love. Knowing God experientially. Knowing God by experiencing his love. And when you begin to know God by experiencing his love, please listen to this. I believe that most of the things in your life that are not working will be resolved through an intimate experiential love with God. In other words, an intimate relationship with God will resolve a whole lot of stuff that you're still going through. Experiencing his love, having faith in his mercy. We're talking about the power of God. You see things happen. Most people, again, they're trying to do the mechanics of the word, but they don't know God. They have the knowledge of the word, and that's cool, but you don't know God. Have you experienced God today? Have you experienced his love today? You know, God is always near, but have you invited him in? We keep trying to believe God for things, and we're asking God for things when we need to be asking for his presence. We need to ask for his presence. Glory to God. You know, the first act of the Holy Spirit was to pour the love of God in your heart. My God. Amen. Let's look at Psalms 103. I'm getting carried away on that, man. His mercies are new every morning. Think about that. When you wake up tomorrow, you're waking up to not an old batch of mercy, but brand new mercies every morning. Psalms 103:8 in the King James, he says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now look at verse 8. He says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. It's not like you wearing God out to the point where you don't have any mercy for you. Well, you know, God probably ain't got no more mercy for me. Are you seriously don't think you all that, do you? You serious? You what? Your sin is never gonna outdo God's mercy. It's not gonna happen. It'll never happen. He is plenteous in mercy, and I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. Look at Psalms 86 and verse 5. Psalms 86 and verse 5. Now this is really some amazing stuff here. He says, For thou, Lord, art good. Say out loud, God is good. Now watch this. He is ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. I don't know why people walk around daily with the burden of their sin, of the burden of their shortcoming. or trying to convince themselves that God's mad at them and they need to somehow punish themselves in order to deserve God's forgiveness. Now, God is ready to forgive right now. God is ready to forgive right now. There's some of you in here today, in this convention today, that you need to go ahead and receive God's readiness to forgive right now. It is not requiring you to go and do several acts. It's not required of you to go and earn it. It's not required of you go and suffer for a minute so you can deserve it. See, you deserve hell. We're not trying to get what we deserve. I'm definitely not trying to get what I deserve. I want undeserved. I want to get what I don't deserve. And that's what this is about. The undeserved favor of God. He is ready to forgive. He is plenteous. There it is again. Plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Now that's interesting. Again, we release our faith for the mercies of God. I'm releasing my faith for the mercies of God. You know, how does that work? Right in the middle of the enemy bombarding you with condemnation and shame, you open your mouth up and say, I have faith in the mercies of God, and I receive the mercies of God over my life. I receive the mercies of God over this situation. And I know it feels like, oh man, how can you say that? Well, I mean, the Apostle Paul just troubled so many people, troubled Christian people in his time. And yet when he had his experience on the road to Damascus and he encountered Jesus and his life was changed, Paul said this, I have wronged no man. I have defrauded no man. I have troubled no man. And I thought, Lord, I think I just caught the Apostle Paul in a lie. Because I can clearly see just a few books over where you troubled a lot of people. But what was it? He was releasing his faith and his new identity and then the mercies of God that are plenteous. I have wronged no man. I have defrauded no man. My goodness. That it's going to require faith. The mercy of God is plenteous. But will you call upon it? Will you release your faith for it? You know, the mercy's there. You know, I was kind of amazed that the presence of God is always near. But I realized that there's one thing God's not going to do. He's not going to force himself in my life. He's not going to force his presence in my life. I have to invite him in. I have to release my faith and say, Lord, I thank you for your presence in me. And I pray that even through this technology, that the presence of God begins to fill this sanctuary. Where you begin to feel his presence and sense his mercy. And his mercy begins to heal your body, even though you didn't deserve it. Glory to God. His mercy begins to deliver you from mental pains, even though you didn't deserve it. Depression right now is being dealt with right now. The mercy of God's being released right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. His presence, praise God. That's really that's all you need. You just need to understand how to receive that presence on a day-to-day basis. How to accept that presence and accept the mercies of God in your life every single day. To be honest with you, man, when you have the presence of God, that's all you need. He'll do things you can't do. He'll do things that's taken years and years to accomplish. And in 1 minute, he'll accomplish what you've been trying to get accomplished in all the last 10 years of your life. God's ready to do it. Let his presence fill this place right now. Let his presence fill this place right now. I know I'm not there in persons, but there's no time or distance in the spirit. And I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now as I minister to you. Glory to God. Take hold of his presence. Take hold of his mercy. His mercy is plenteous. It is upon all them that call upon him. It's upon all them that believe and receive. Receive his mercy right now. to put your marriage back together. Receive his mercy right now where your children are concerned. Receive his mercy right now where your prosperity is concerned. Receive his mercy right now where employment is concerned. His mercy changes everything, and he is plenteous in mercy. His mercy transform. It'll transform everything that you touch, everything that you go through because of God's mercy. And now your release of the shame, your release of the condemnation, your release of all of those things that have been bombarding your mind and your thinking. And you're doing that by faith. By faith, I receive the mercies of God. By faith, I believe God loves me. I have faith in his love. I have faith in his mercy. I'm ready to receive his forgiveness that he is ready to release in my life. God's ready to forgive. He's plenteous in mercy upon those who will call upon him, place a demand on it, receive it by their faith. Now, let's look at something. We've been talking, and you see how the compassion and the forgiveness of God. You see how the love that responds to human need in unexpected and unmerited way. You see how the bad you deserve, you don't get. Mercy's big. Mercy's big. And a lot of times you'll see the mercy of God in the same place where the power of God. And you'll see where God did certain things by his mercy. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God did certain things. Deliverance came because of his mercy. Salvation and healing came because of his mercy. Believing in that mercy and standing upon that mercy. And when you do that, then you begin to understand all that has been made available for you. Now, look at this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 18 through 20 in the New Living Translation. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 through 20 in the New Living Translation. Now, because you may not understand fully God's love, there's something that you open yourself up to. I want to read this scripture, and I just want us to meditate in this scripture. He says, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should," not that they do, but they should, how wide, that we should understand how wide, that we should come to points, we should understand how long, we should understand how high, we should understand how deep his love is. But then watch this in the very next place. He says, may you experience the love of Christ. See, God's will is that you experience his love. God's will is that you experience the transformative results of his mercy, his love, his compassion, his unmerited favor. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Now, that seems like it goes against what we just read, saying we should understand how deep his love is. But then he says, I want you to experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. God is willing to allow us to experience his love even though we don't understand it fully. I would put my faith out there. Even though I don't understand it fully, it is still his desire for me to experience it. God wants you to experience it. God wants every sinner to experience his love. God wants every Christian to experience his love. God wants every Christian who's been messing up to experience his love. God wants every Christian that's mad at God to experience his love. Every Christian that's in poverty trying to figure out what's wrong to experience his love. But it's not by what you do to make it happen. It's by your faith in what he's already done. He says, then you'll be made complete. When you experience his love, look at the transformation here. He said, then you will be made complete. When you experience his love. Oh my goodness. There's no reason for anybody not to experience the love of God. It's just kind of like opening the door and and calling upon it and receiving it. When you experience his love, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life. That's so powerful. And the power that comes from God. When you experience his love, you're going to experience the fullness of life. How many of you want to experience the fullness of life? Because right now, you know, you may not be experiencing the fullness of life. Right now, your life may seem like it's just like you're in hell somewhere. And with all the stuff that's going on and the pandemic and you know, you just all the death that's taking place. And you just feel like, you know, man, what's going on? And you may feel like I'm not experiencing life. But he says he wants you to fully experience life. And he wants you to fully experience, go back. He wants you to fully experience life. He wants you to fully experience his power. Go back to the previous verse. He wants you to fully experience life. He wants you to fully experience the power that comes from God. So power is really ability. So he wants you to experience life. And he says this life that you experience will be as a result of his ability or his power. It's going to come from God. This experience comes from God. The experience of love that comes from God. And then you being transformed into being made complete. And then you have a fullness of life. So watch this. God's will is that you have a full life. Blessed in every area. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And it will be by his power. Now look at verse 20. He says, now all glory to God. So he says now, all of the stuff that's going to happen as a result of what I'm teaching you today and you receiving it, he said, don't forget to give thanksgiving to God. Glory to God, acknowledging God. Don't you dare try to take credit for it. Don't you go explaining to people, well, I increased my prayer time to 5 hours instead of 2. No, God did it because he wanted to do it. He didn't do it because you did something to make him do it. He said, give glory to God. Give glory to God like Abraham gave glory to God. Abraham gave glory to God before the manifestation even occurred. And he's saying when you experience his love and the mercy that's plenteous, give glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work, watch this, within us. The power that's working in us is the love that the Holy Spirit poured in our hearts, Romans 5:5. The Holy Spirit, the first act of the Holy Spirit was to pour the love of God in our hearts. Think of that. To pour the love of God in our hearts. Wow. Through his mighty power at work within us. I believe that mighty power that's working in us is God's love. I believe that mighty power that's working in us is God's compassion. I believe that forgiveness is going to be something that you'll set your will to. I believe that that mercy is transforming you and working on the inside of you to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. That's powerful. The love of God working in you so that you can accomplish more than what you can ask or think. And I'm telling you, man, you may think that the mercies of God, that's just such a simple subject. And it is. But I'm trying to get you to walk in it. Trying to get you to receive it. I'm trying to get you to receive it when all hell breaks loose around you, that you will automatically open your mouth up and receive the mercy of God. And then you can begin to plead the mercy of God on other people. You see them going through something, you Lord, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them. You know, you can, I prayed for people who were sick and I said, have mercy on them, Lord. Man, mercy's power. People who needed financial help, Lord, have mercy on them. People who were depressed, Lord, have mercy on them. And I'm telling you, you have that authority to release the mercy of God. Not only to receive it, but to release the mercy of God in and upon your life. Now, I want to get involved in something here where I want to talk to you about something that what happens when a person is unwilling to receive the mercies of God. And we've got plenty of scripture in the book of Jonah about this. But listen to this carefully. Because you may not understand fully God's love, there may be times where you are unwilling to accept his mercy shown to someone you think deserves no mercy at all. So let's say somebody has hurt you badly, harmed you, violated you, and God's mercy is available for them. And you're like, I'm just unwilling to receive that. He said, how can God show mercy on somebody that showed me so much harm, so much hurt, so much trouble? Wow. You see, unfortunately, the people that you don't think are going to be in heaven are going to be in heaven. And wow, what happens to that person who, you know, they want mercy of God in their life, but it becomes difficult to receive that people who have harmed you, hurt you, can have mercy shown upon them. That's where we get in trouble a lot. You know, a lot of times we'll go and preach the mercy of God. You'll hear us in this convention and you'll go and talk about the mercy of God until it gets to the real basis of things. And you think, I ain't going to forgive that ex-husband. You don't know what he did to me. No, I'm not going to give that person. That guy violated me. No, I'm not going to forgive her. I trusted her and she violated my trust. Oh, man. What happens to those people? Well, you know, God's mercy is fresh every morning. You know, he's got mercy for you, but I just want to kind of give a little look at that. This happened in the case of Jonah. Jonah was unwilling. He was unwilling to receive the fact that those in Nineveh would receive the mercy of God. Now, you know the story of Jonah. I'm not going to read it line by line, but, you know, you can turn to Jonah right now, chapter 1, and follow me. But God called Jonah up, and he told Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell the people that because of their wickedness, he gave a certain amount of time that they will be destroyed. I believe it was 40 days or something, that they would be destroyed. And it was so weird that in the scripture, I think it was verse 2, he says, all right, go to Nineveh and tell them they're going to be destroyed. And the Bible said that Jonah went the opposite way. He turned and went the opposite way. He started running from God. He's like, I'm not going to Nineveh. And so he caught a boat and he got on this boat and the Bible says God released a great storm against that boat. And when that storm was released, I think I will go. It would be bad for us to see some of this stuff scripturally. And I'm kind of running out of time, so I'll set the stage for this. And then afterwards, we'll take some time. And I'll go and look at this. But, of course, you know the story. He got on the boat. They cast lots. And they discovered that Jonah was the problem. And Jonah told him, in order for this storm to stop and go away, that they was going to have to throw him out the boat. And they threw him out the boat. And God called a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah describes all of the things that happened when he was in the water and began to drown and so forth and so on. And so, I'll pick up with this on my next session. I'm going to talk about the transformative power of God, but I'm kind of running low on time. So Jonah, he gets all upset with God because when the people started fasting and repenting and changing from their wickedness, and God changed his mind. And Jonah said, see, I knew you were full of mercy. I knew you were full of grace. Jonah was like, these guys are wicked and they need to be destroyed. And then God caused this plant to grow up by Jonah, and then it died, and then the sun scorched Jonah. And then God says, listen, he said, when that plant died, you were concerned about the plant. He said, shouldn't I be concerned about all the people in Nineveh? He was just unwilling to forgive. And God says, I changed my mind. They changed. I'm changing my mind. But he did not want God to show mercy. He did not want God to share the mercy with those people. He wanted them destroyed. I'll look at scripture with you tomorrow, and we'll pick up there with Jonah. But there are five lessons from Jonah on the mercy of God, and I want to give them to you now, and we'll look at this in a little detail tomorrow. But number one, Jonah does the opposite of what God tells him to do, but God still shows mercy. Jonah did the opposite of what God told him to do, but God still showed mercy. Number two, the second lesson that we get from Jonah, we should have mercy because we have been shown mercy. We should have mercy because we've been shown mercy. I mean, why not? Number three, God knows when to show mercy. He knows when to show mercy. He's demonstrated that over and over and over again. Number four, God has already decided to show us mercy. Now, something just came up in my spirit. I just heard somebody say, well, when I was going through such and so, where was the mercy of God then? Please listen to this. We must mature. And sometimes there are certain things that are allowed to happen to us so we can mature. See, Jonah rebelled against God, but he drowned in the sea, swallowed up by a fish. And when the fish was commanded to release Jonah on dry land, God told him to go to Nineveh, and Jonah said, yes, sir. All of a sudden, everything changed. Sometimes things can be allowed to show up in our lives to mature us out of immaturity so that we can be prepared to do the will of God for our life. And Christian people need to learn they have to mature. The hard time that you go through this year should not affect you next year the same way it affected you now. We must mature. And Jonah matured. So it's not the issue of God didn't show you mercy. Man, the love of God's preparing you so you can be ready to fulfill the will of God for your life. Some people just want to stay the same, but that's not how this works. In this world, you shall have tribulation. They that live godly shall have tribulation. Why? Because that helps to mature us to a place where we're ready to receive the will of God. God's not going to show you the perfect will for your life until you're ready to receive it. And what happens is sometimes you got to understand we go on these laps, and that one lap, when you complete it, prepares you for the next lap. When you complete it, prepares you for the third lap. And you do these laps until you get to the perfect will of God. But some people take that first lap and they get stuck in transition thinking that's the will of God for their life. Now, all that lap was just to prepare you for the next lap, another situation, to prepare you for the next situation. And all of those laps are leading you to the ultimate will of God. But don't think that lap number two is the perfect will of God for your life. God is like saying, I want to see if you're going to allow mammon to cause you to value it more than me on that lap. On this lap, I wanted to see if you were willing to set your will to forgive. And all of those laps are preparing you for the ultimate will of God. When you finally get there, you go to God and say, Lord, I don't care about anything except doing what you want me to do. Don't get stuck in transition. allow God to bring you to the place where you need to be. And so this is a very, very important time in what we're looking at. I think, let me finish this up. Number four, God has already decided to show us mercy. He's already decided to do that. You don't have to twist his arm. He's already decided to do that. And then number five, mercy reflects God's character. His mercy is a reflection of his character. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We'll pick up at that point, and I'll give you some practical things that you need to know as far as your character is concerned, where mercy is concerned. But we'll pick up with the story of Jonah. Make sure you bring your Bibles, and we'll go ahead and look at that, and I think it'll be a blessing to your life. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, we thank you for this another opportunity to minister to these, your precious sheep. I pray that their faith is stirred in the mercy of God. I pray that they will receive it, and I pray that they will begin to release it in their authority. The authority to declare mercy on things that need to be transformed. We give you honor today. I thank you for this convention. I thank you for this ministry and for what Pastor Pojo has been summoned by God to do. And I pray that mercy will stand out above all, and that people will come to know you, to know your character, to know your love, and to know your compassion. I pray that your presence will be strong upon everyone that attends this conference. Bless every speaker. Bless everything that goes on in this conference to let people know that Jesus is Lord in everything that we do. We honor you and we praise you. I pray in the name of Jesus that healing takes place right now. Every person that carries sickness in your body, I command you to be well right now. Every person that's troubled in your soul, we break that right now in the name of Jesus, and we say peace, peace. We declare the peace of God over your life right now. Those who are in need in the name of Jesus, I pray that they prosper and that you will open up doors that no man will be able to close. I announce the blessing of God over this conference, this convention. And I declare that you are blessed in the name of Jesus. And we honor you, Lord. We give you glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now, what I want you to do, just stand to your feet right now. Just stand to your feet right now. Now, his presence is here. That's all you ever need. Stop trying to add more to God. Jesus is enough. You don't need to keep adding more. Well, you know, and then you sing songs. More of you, Lord, more of you. No, he's enough. And you've got to release your faith that the presence of God in your life is enough. He can do things that you can't even think about doing if you let him do it, or you invite him in. I want you to lift your hands up, and I want you to just begin to praise him. And I want you to receive his presence right now. Receive his presence right now. I want you to open your mouth up. Go ahead. Give him glory. Give him glory. Glory to God. Give him glory. That's right. Give him glory. Have a flashback. And thank God for every ditch that he's delivered you out of. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Give him glory. Praise God. You'll begin to sense his presence even on your fingertips. Glory to God. His presence is in the house right now. Accept it. Receive it right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. You are welcome in this place, Holy Spirit. We welcome your presence in this place. We thank you that your presence is burning out sickness. We thank you that your presence is burning out condemnation. It's burning out guilt. It's burning out shame right now. Worship him. Worship him. Receive his presence right now. Receive his presence right now. Glory to God. The pain's being removed right now. Receive his presence right now. You honey, some of you can receive, you see the stress going down. Just receive his presence right now. Receive his presence right now. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. 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 Just keep it going. Just keep it going right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Pastor, I turn this back over to you right now. Glory to God. Just keep worshiping the Lord. Keep worshiping God. He is good and he is worthy to be praised. I'll see you in the next session.
Yes, we honor you, say you are worthy, Jesus, you are worthy, oh, say you are worthy, you are the Lord, you are worthy, oh, we give you glory, Lord, we give you glory, Lord, as we worship you, we lift up your name tonight, say, we give you glory, Lord, oh, as we honor your mercy, you are, we sing your mercy, wonderful, you are.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and bless you for that word. Thank you for your revelation. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right then. So you may be seated. This is a considerable amount of time. I'm talking about the break time again. There's more break time than what time this there's no... All right, so we will go on a break. That message will be continued tomorrow morning, as he said, tomorrow. So he'll be speaking in all the services tomorrow morning. All right, so, okay. So you go to your center for services tomorrow, and then we have the grand finale here. From 5 p.m. in the evening. We appeal to our Igomu brethren. We are preaching the power of mercy. We beseech you by the mercies of God to go home for lunch after the service and not to occupy till he comes. In other words, you sit on the chair and nobody can get in again. So please, all right, you'll be holding three services tomorrow. All right, your three services, you're back to your three services. 6:30, 8 something, and 10:30. I think 8:15 and, all right, 10:30. So all services are running normally, right? Apart from Ikeja, they're opening Marriott tomorrow, all right, at 8 a.m. So Ikeja is moving to Marriott tomorrow. All right, and they'll be there from 8 a.m. They will be at Marriott for 6 months. And then they'll move to their own place. I said 6 months because we are not doing Lekki 3 months. Shemo, all right. I knew that. That thing takes. I won't tell you what happened. I won't call his name, but a man of God is going to build a massive facility, massive, probably will be the biggest church. So his assistant knelt down and said, "Sir, this one, let us move at the pace that God, we are not announcing the time we are finishing the project. Because once you have that deadline, you wake up in the middle of the night, okay? You become everything." So I said 6 months for you so that we will have time to worship the Lord and enjoy the project of God. All right then. See you at 5:30 p.m.